Today's shiur will be Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Even though our shiur is Daf Ayin Tes, nevertheless, the beginning will be found on the bottom of Ayin Ches Amud Beis at the Mishnah. In general, the Mishnah will describe cases where a death took place as a result of an attack. However, the original intention doesn't match exactly the results of the attack. Niskaven laharoig esa behema v'horag esa adam. In fact, we ought to point out that the first section of the Mishnah will feature numerous cases of exemption. Later in the Mishnah, on Daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, one will find a number of lines from the top, a squiggle underline avol in the Mishnah. At that point, the direction takes a change, and we'll find cases that result in guilt. So we continue with the Mishnah from the beginning. Niskaven laharoig esa behema, a person intended to kill an animal in his action, v'horag esa adam, and ended up killing a person. He intended to kill an idol worshipper and ended up killing a Jew. He had an intention of killing a Nephel. A Nephel is a newborn that is not expected to live. So his intention was killing that type of child, for Horak is ben Kayoma, but ended up killing someone who was healthy, Potter. The attacker is exempt from capital punishment. Niskaven lahakoiso amosnov, a person intended to yield a blow to the mosnov of a person, the lower part of the body, and in that blow, v'lohaya boy kidei lahamiso, in that blow there wasn't sufficient force to kill the victim. Al mosnov, or another case where there was a blow made to the lower section, v'holcha lo al liboy, and it ended up striking the victim on his heart. V'hoya bo kidei lahamiso alibo, and the blow, though, was intended to be on the lower section, and on the lower section, not enough force to kill. But being that it ended up landing on his heart, and on the heart being a more sensitive area, that same blow was capable of killing. Umes, and the victim died. Potter. The attacker is nonetheless exempt. Niskaven lahakoisei al liboy. Someone intended to beat someone on his heart. V'hoya bo kidei lohamis al liboy. And there was sufficient force in that to kill someone had it landed on the victim's heart. Nevertheless, v'holcha lo al mosnov, and it ended up landing on his lower section. V'lo hoya bo kidei lohamis al mosnov, and the force that was wielded was not enough to kill on the lower part. And umes, but yet, even though the force, the blow, landed on the lower part, and there wasn't enough force to kill there, and the victim, however, died, potter, the attacker is exempt. Nistaving lahakis es hagodol v'lo hoya bo kedei lahomis hagodol. An intention to wield a blow to an adult, and there wasn't enough force to kill. V'holcha lo al hakotan, v'hoya bo kedei lahomis es hakotan. And it ended up landing on, the blow ended up landing on a minor, on a child. And being that the child is of a weaker constitution, it could have killed the child. Umes, and the katan died. Potter, the attacker is exempt. Once again, that's because the original intent was not for the child. Niskave lahakais es hakatan, v'hoya bo kidei lahomis es hakatan. There was a blow with intent to attack a minor, and it would have been sufficient to kill the minor. V'holcha lo al hagodol, ended up landing on an adult. V'lo hoya bo kedei lohamis es hagodol. Umeis, potter. Avol, niskave lahakris almosnov. V'hoya bo kedei lohamis almosnov. An intention to wield a blow to the lower section of the body, and it was sufficient to kill at that point. V'holcha lo al libo umeis, and this forceful blow landed on the heart of the victim, and he died. Chayav. There is capital offense here of murder. Niskavein lahakris es hagodol, v'hoya bo kedei lahomis es hagodol. There was an intention to attack a godol, and it was enough of a blow to kill the godol. V'holcha lo al hakoton, and it ended up landing on a minor, umeis, and the child died. Chayav. There is guilt here. According to this, even though the attack was expected to hit one, and it ended up landing on someone else, there is guilt, according to this opinion. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Omer afilu niskaven laharogezeh v'horagezeh poter. Even in a case where there was a death blow, and it ended up killing someone else, There is exemption from a capital punishment, because the blow did not land on the intended victim. Rabbi Shimon Ahei. The Gemara inquires here, Rabbi Shimon, whom we featured in the Mishnah with a dotted underline, what is he going on? Which section of the Mishnah is he making his comment? E lemo asefa. If one were to think that he is directing his comment to the very last point mentioned before his name, then it would have been more appropriate to state Rabbi Shimon poter miboyale, that Rabbi Shimon exempts, whereas the Tanakhama said chayav. It would have been appropriate for Rabbi Shimon simply to say Rabbi Shimon poter. Elo Aresha. Notice we have underlined the Elema and the word Elo to emphasize the stages of the Gemara. We also have here a long answer marking. You can see a Tuf that's encircled, a Teretz, abbreviated as Tuf, with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of the answer. The Gemara at this point restates the Mishnah in such a way that one will see what Rabbi Shimon is addressing. So we reread, and we featured the rereading in a frame, as we do in general when dealing with Tanaic sources and their correction, or their reinterpretation, or clarification. The source continues. Niskaven laharoig es habehema v'horag es adam. This was seen at the beginning of our Mishnah. Intention to kill a person, a behema, an animal, and it ended up killing a person. Or lo'ivik kechavim v'horag es Yisrael. Or l'nefilim v'harag es ben kayoma. Any of these cases, as we explained in the Mishnah, potter. Now we draw an inference from this. Ha niskave haro es zeh v'harag es zeh. If, however, there was an intent to kill an initial party that, if victimized, would have resulted in a capital punishment, and he ended up killing a second party that also carries with it a capital offense, chayav. This is contrasted with the cases featured at the opening of the Mishnah, where only one of the two parties, or one of the two victims, so to speak, would have resulted in a capital punishment. However, we're simply going over this again. However, where both parties would generate a capital punishment, and the victim was not the original intended victim, nevertheless, there is guilt. Rabbi Shimon, on this point, Omer, afilu niskave laroge ze vahorage ze, even where intention was to kill one, end up killing the second party, even though both would have generated a capital punishment, potter, there is exemption. Pshita koi Reuven v'Shimon. The following case is obvious, where Reuven and Shimon are standing in front of us. V'Omar, and the attacker says, Ano l'Reuven ko michvino, l'Shimon lo ko michvino. I intend to kill Reuven and not Shimon. And he ends up killing Shimon. Hainu plugtayu. This is the very case concerning which Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim disagree. Now we see a question. Omar, let us say the attacker said, L'chad minayu. We're focusing this question on Rabbi Shimon. If he announced, I want to kill one of them. My, what would Rav Shimon say about that? Is that called miskaving lo or not? You see, he announces he wants to kill one of them, so it could be that this intention covers both. Or it could be that since, if we see one person killed, and we say to ourselves, had the other one been killed, that would have been sufficient in the attacker's eyes. Therefore, this one that was killed does not constitute sufficient intention on the part of the attacker. So that's the question. Inami, another question. Kosova Reuven v'nimso Shimon. He intended to kill Reuven. He intended to kill someone whom he thought was Reuven, and he ended up killing the individual he was aiming for, but it turned out that that person had a different identity. What is the din then? This too, Rashi explains, Inami lahakois es haguf hazeh. He intended to attack this particular body. Avol kosovor hu shehu Reuven. However, he thought that the body had the identity of Reuven, v'nimso Shimon, and it turned out that the very body he was aiming for and did kill turned out to have a different identity. Mi amrinon kevon de lahai gufo iskavein. Do we say that since he aimed at this body and he got it, that's called miskavein hulo, and would be guilty of a capital punishment? Odilma, or do we say Kevon de lahai gavro lo ichvin, since he did not intend to attack the person with this identity, potarle Rabbi Shimon. Maybe Rabbi Shimon would hold that to be exempt. The answer is provided in the Gemara. Toshma, let's come in here. Desanya, the following source, Rabbi Shimon Omer, ad sheyoymar leploni ani miskavein. Reb Shimon says there is exemption until the identity matches the body. In other words, he intends to kill this particular body with this particular identity. If there's any alteration in that, namely he's aiming for body one and he ends up killing body number two, or he aims for body one, thinking it has the identity of Reuven, and it turns out to have the identity of Shimon. In both of those cases, Rabbi Shimon holds exempt. My time of Rabbi Shimon. What is the basis for Rabbi Shimon that says that there is no capital offense of murder unless he kills exactly that and whom he intended to kill? Omar Kral, the pasuk says, V'orav loy v'kom olov. The understanding of this pasuk on the part of Rabbi Shimon is ad she is kaven loy, until he has intention for this particular victim and kills him. V'rabbanan, what do the Rabbanan do with this particular pasuk? Before we go further in the Gemara, we want to note that this is part of a long answer. The Gemara in the next several lines will be clarifying Shitas HaRabbanan. So the school of Rabbi Yanai says, Prat Lezorik Evan Lego. This pasuk is coming to exclude the case of a person who throws a rock, a murderous rock, and ends up killing someone where the rock is thrown into a group of people and someone is killed as a result. The pasuk comes and tells me that even though a person died, the rock thrower will be exempt. And bear in mind, we're going within the Shitas Rabbanan that hold in general, Niskaveh Laharog Ezeh V'Horag Ezeh is Chayav. So what is this case of throwing a rock into a group of people? And there is exemption. Hey Chidomi, in lema de'ikot tisho kusim ve'echod Yisrael b'neihem. If one were to think that it's a group of people composed of nine heathens or nine idol worshippers and one Jew amongst them, tepuk lei deruba kusim. Even if the Jew is killed, nevertheless, we will learn exemption because the majority of the people in that group were people that would not have resulted in a capital punishment. So, based on the row, based on following the majority, I would know there is exemption. What do I need a specific pasuk to teach me this? Inami palgo palgo, and even if you tell me a case, describe a case of 50-50, 50% people that would yield a result in a capital punishment for their death, and 50% of those people, if killed, would not have yielded a capital punishment to begin with. Even in that case, I don't need a special pasuk to tell me that if a Bar Yisrael is killed, that there nevertheless is exemption, because we have another principle that says Safek Nefashas Lahakel, where you have a doubt. And in a case where a rock was thrown into a group of people concerning whom 50% would not have yielded a death penalty to begin with, so we apply the principle of where there is a doubt, we follow the path of innocence, of leniency. Lo yitzricha. I need the pasuk to tell me, to describe a case where there will be innocence, even though by applying principles, I would have thought there should be guilt. There's a group of nine Jews and one heathen amongst them. And someone throws a rock that could kill into that group. One might have thought that since the majority of the people are Yisrael, which would result in a capital punishment, the pasuk comes to tell me that being that the group are in their specific place, they're in their, we'll say their yard, or they're sitting together where they generally meet. The Havile Kusi Kavua, the Kusi, the heathen, is considered established. And there's a principle that says, V'chol Kavua Kemechso Almechso Domi, that where you have people that are in their established place, they take on the characteristic of 50%. In other words, the Kusi that was in his place, he wasn't moving along, but rather he was part of a group seated or standing in a place that they are expected to be standing. And a rock is thrown into a group like that. Since the Kusi is Kavua, he takes on the identity of 50% of the people. And that creates a situation of Safek Nefashas Lahakel. Without this pasuk, I would never have thought such an idea, that because one of the parties, because they are Kavua, that creates, even if he's a minority in terms of numbers, he takes on the characteristics of 50%. Bishlam Ola Rabbonon, things work out well according to the Rabbonon. The Amri, we've squiggle underlined, by the way. You see Bishlam Rabbanan. This is contrasted with a Reb Shimon squiggle underline a few lines later, where we will then turn to analyze his take on things. So Bishlam Rabbanan, the Amri Niskaven Harogezev Horagezeh Chayov, where one has intention to kill one person and ends up killing someone else. That since the action accompanied an initial intention to kill a specific person. By the way, this is in contrast with the case of throwing the rock into a group where there was no intention to kill a specific individual. But here, where the Rabbanan hold there is guilt, in the case of intention to kill a specific individual and ended up killing someone else, that it is chayav, dichtiv, the Pasuk says, v'chi yinotsu anoshim v'nogfu isha hara. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us introduce the issue by looking at psukim that we have included in the margin that can be seen in Shmois Perek Chof Aleph, which describes a fight between two people, and the level of blows is capable of killing. And there is a pregnant woman standing by the side. The Torah describes two possibilities where the fight results in the death of somebody, or the fight results in the miscarriage of the woman. By looking in the psukim, you can see Shmos Perek Chof Aleph Pasuk Chof Beis V'chi Yinotsu Anoshim V'nogfu Isha Hora. Two people are fighting and the blow lands on a pregnant woman. V'yotsu Yilodeha V'lo Ye Osoin. And there is a miscarriage that results, but no death of any of the bystanders. Onoshi onesh, there is punishment, which we will see. It was a reference to a financial payment. Kasher yoshis olov bal ho'isha v'nosan beflilim. There is an evaluation in terms of money values, and it's paid to the husband of the woman who miscarried. In other words, the man who lost his potential children. Pasuk Chof Gimel, v'im osonia, if there is death, v'nosata nefesh tachas nefesh. On the simple reading of this would indicate that since death resulted, so the person who murdered will have to pay with his life. In this particular case, who is dying? So, we're going to assume that even if the lady dies, whereby the original intention was not to kill the lady, it was to kill the party he was fighting with. The blow simply landed on the woman. There nevertheless is a capital penalty. This works out well according to the Rabbanan. Furthermore, we see in this particular parsha that if there was no death that resulted, there would be money paid. We will take note of that later on. So the Gemara continues, Bishlamo Rabbanan di Amri, Niskavei Laharoig Ezeh V'Horag Ezeh, they who hold that if there was intent to kill party A and it ended up killing party B, Chayov, that it results in a capital punishment, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, V'chi yinotsu anoshim, v'nogfu isha hora, v'omar rebelozer, b'matsus shebemiso hakosuv medaber. An altercation with the force of death is what the Pasuk is describing. Dichtiv, v'im osoin yeh, if death results, if the woman is killed, v'nosata nefesh tachas nefesh, the murderer's life shall be taken because the woman's life was taken. And this is so even though there was no intention to kill her. Elo le Rabbi Shimon, According to Rabbi Shimon, however, that holds Niskavin Aro Gezeh V'Hora Gezeh is exempt, Hai V'Nosata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh Mai Ovid Lei. What does he do with the pasuk that indicates that there is capital punishment in this case? Namely, even though there was no intention to kill the woman, but if she died, the attacker must be executed. What does Rabbi Shimon do with that? The Gemara answers, Momoin Uchad Rebbe. The expression of Venosata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh does not mean what it literally appears as, but rather it means money is paid. That if the woman is killed, since she was not the intended victim, there is no capital penalty. And being that there is no capital penalty, there is, however, financial restitution. And this is based on Rebbe's teaching. Of course, we need to explain, and that's what the role of the upcoming Gemara is. How do you see in this pasuk of Vinosata, Nefesh, Tachas Nefesh, a reference to financial payment? The Sanya, the source begins, featuring Shitas Rebbe, Rebbe Oimer. Vinosata, Nefesh, Tachas Nefesh, equals Momon. That means that the value of the woman is paid to her heirs. Ata oimer momono eno elo nefesh mamish. Are you saying it means money, or maybe it means literally that the murderer is to be executed? So to that we say, nemro nesino lamato. We see the word nesino in one pasuk. Venosato nefesh tachas nefesh we saw. Venemro nesino lamalo. And we see also the pasuk that says, "Im lo ye osoin v'nosan b'flilim," that if there is no death, the pasuk said, and this pasuk we read before, this was, we saw pasuk chof beis that was before the v'nosata nefesh tachas nefesh pasuk. We saw the Nosan Beflilim, which means that there is money paid for the miscarriage, and that's clearly a financial payment. So just like the word Venosan in Pasuk Chof Beis was a reference to a money payment, Ma'ala Halon Momon, so too Afkan in Pasuk Chof Gimel, it's Momon. At this point in the Gemara, Rava introduces another Tanaic authority, and the Gemara will be making a long point and say that the following source, the Tana de Beit Chizkia, is a third opinion that does not parallel the Rabbana nor Rebbe. Omar Rava, Hai de Tana de Beit Chizkia, that which is taught by the Yeshiva of Chizkia a little bit later, another couple lines in the Gemara, you will see a Tanaic source. Mafka mida Rebbe, it is to the exclusion of Rebbe, Rebbe who was Mechayev Mamon. Umafka mi de Rabbonon, and will be to the exclusion of the Rabbonon who said that there would be a capital penalty executed in the case of Niskavi Moze Vahora Gezeh. According to the Tana Beit Chizkia that we're about to see, in a case of Niskavin Lozeh Vahara Gezeh, not only is there no capital penalty, but there is no financial payment made either. This is all part of a long point that's started on the second line from the top. You can see the nun that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a long vertical dashed line indicating the length of this point. So Rava continues, presenting now the Tana de Beit Chizkia. The pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Chav Dalet, pasuk Aleph says, "Make Odom umake behema." Truth is that the pasuk actually says, and we've included this on the side of the Gemara, "Umake behema yishalmena, umake Odom yumos." But you see the term "make" associated with behema and Odom for the following purpose: "Ma make behema." Just like in the case of an animal being attacked and killed, lo chilakta bo, there is no distinction made bein shogeg lemezid, whether it be unintentional or intentional, bein miskavein l'she'enoi miskavein, bein derech yirida l'derech aliyah, whether the act was in a position where the attacker was derech yirida in a downward position or derech aliyah in an upward position. Lefotro mamon elo lechayvo mamon. There is no distinction that would yield in the exemption of paying, but rather in all the cases that we just featured, there is always going to be financial restitution made. In other words, the main point here to emphasize is no distinction. Af make odam, so too in the case of a person being killed, lo tachloy boy bein shoyig lemezid, bein miskavin l'shein miskavin, bein derech yirida l'derech aliyah, l'chayvo mamon, elo l'potro mamon. In all cases of persons dying, there will be a ptur, an exemption of financial restitution. The Rashi points out, in Dibur Masel, Af Make Odom, Ein Din, Potter Tashlumin Hakosuv Bo, Choluk Lushum Tzad. The exemption from paying that appears here has no distinction to be made in any direction. She is Chayev Mamon. That would, in certain cases, result in an obligation to pay. That's not the case. Ela kol sha'a poter mimamon. Rather, all circumstances are to result in exemption from paying. Bein b'shogeg v'ein niskavein. Whether it be the case of shogeg or ein niskavein, both forms of lacking kavana, lacking intention, the poter mimisa, that there is an exemption. There certainly is an exemption of death. Bain, Bemezin, Viniskavin, the Chayav Misa, or be cases where there would be a capital offense. In all cases, whether it be no capital punishment or yes capital punishment, there is no money to be paid. We turn back to the Gemara for some clarification. My She'ain Miskavin. What is meant by that in the case of a person, where the person is the victim? The source said, whether it be a case of ein miskavein, what does that mean? E lemo she'ein miskavein klal, if you're to think that it means he had no intention whatsoever to kill, well, hainu shogeg, that was already referred to by the expression shogeg in the same source, and that's featured above in with a dashed underline. Elo pshita, what must the expression of ein miskavim really mean? She'ein miskavim lozeh, elo lozeh. He had no intention for A, but rather had intention for B. And he ended up killing A. Vikotoni, and in the source it says, l'chayvoy mamon, elo l'potro mamon. That the Torah is telling me that there will be no financial obligation, rather only exemption. Let us ponder this. We have a case then of niskavin lozeh v'horagezeh, and the Torah is going out of its way to tell me there's a financial exemption. V'i bar katlahu, had this been termed a capital offense, had this been viewed as, let us say, the Rabbonon view things, my itzterich lemiftere momon, why would the Torah have to go out of its way to tell me about a financial exemption? We know it's a well-known rule that where there is capital punishment, there is no financial restitution to be made. Therefore, what is the opinion of this source? Elolav, rather, you must conclude, Shma mino lav bar katlahu v'lav bar mamonahu, that in the case of niskavin lozeh v'horagezeh, there would never have been, according to this opinion, a capital punishment carried out. So the chiddush is, the novel point is, that even though there was no capital punishment to be meted out, there is also no financial restitution to be made. This particular point is unlike the opinion of the Rabbanan, who held niskavin lozeh v'horagezeh is a capital offense, nor is it like Rabbi Shimon that holds that niskavin lozeh v'horagezeh, even though it's exempt from a capital punishment, nevertheless there is financial restitution to be made. This Tana de Chizkiya holds Not this, nor that. No capital punishment, nor financial restitution. As we go on in the Gemara, we see a Mishnah that features a mix-up of murderers. Who is he mixed up with? That will be the subject of a discussion later. Roitzeach, and before we go on, we can read our topic heading, Ta'ruvos Rotzchim, mix-ups concerning murderers. We will be featuring in the Mishnah the expressions found in diamonds, Haniskolim b'nisrofin, and Hanerogin b'nechnokim, whereby we'll be dealing with other mix-ups too, different capital offenses, Shabbos violations with immorality, people that are guilty of these different offenses, and they get mixed up with one another. Roitzeach shenis arev ba'achirim, kulam turim, a murderer that gets mixed up with others, they are all exempt. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, koinsen oison l'kipa, the entire group is brought into a kippah, which is a very squalid location, and he's fed food that causes him to die. The Rashi describes him being fed barley, soirim, until his stomach cracks. The Mishnah goes on, Kol chayvei misois shenis arvu zebozeh, all capital offenses that get mixed up one with the other, nidoinin bekala, they get executed with the lesser of the punishments. Haniskolin b'nisrofin, if people guilty of skila get mixed up with those people guilty of srefa, we know that there is a machlokes tanoim concerning which of these two is considered more severe. Rabbi Shimon Omer, nidoinin b'skila, shasrefa chamura. Rabbi Shimon holds that this entire group of people will get the lesser form of execution, namely skila, because he holds srefa is more chomor, is more intense. The chachamim omrim nidonin b'srefa shahaskila chamura. Omer lahen Rabbi Shimon, ilu lo hoisa srefa chamura, if it were not so that srefa is the more severe offense, the more severe punishment, lo nitno lebas koyin shezinsa, it wouldn't have been given to the Bas Kohen who practices immorality. And yet we know that Srefa is the penalty given to the Bas Kohen Shizinsa. That shows us, says Reb Shimon, that Srefa is the more severe penalty. Amru Lo, the Rabbanon who disagrees, responded, Ilu Lo Hoiso Skilo Chamura, if it were not so, if it were not for the fact that skilo, that stoning, is the more severe penalty, lo nitno lemegadef ulaoved avodis kechavim, the chachamim presenting blaspheming and idol worship as being examples of the most severe offenses, and they experience skilo, showing us that skilo is the most severe punishment. Hanehirogin b'nechnokin, a mix-up of those to be punished by Neherogin are sword, death by sword, or strangulation. Rabbi Shimon Omer b'sayef, v'chachamim Omerim b'chenek. Man achirim. Who are the achirim that were featured in the at the ratio of this Mishnah? In order to find where this is coming from, you can use the little star that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, and you can see it's positioned opposite the first line of the Mishnah. So who are the achirim? In lema achirim ksherim, if it's a case of a murderer that got mixed up in a group of innocent people, so pshita, it's obvious that they would be that the entire group is exempt. Would you have thought otherwise? Vesu, and furthermore, baha lema Rabbi Yehuda koinsin oison l'kipo, would you have thought that Rabbi Yehuda would rule that the entire group, namely a group of people that are all innocent with the exception of a single murderer that is in the group, that you would bring them all into the kipa setup where they are to die? So how do we explain this Mishnah? Before we go further, we notice triangles. And this is accompanied by a Nose Mivneh heading, which is found in the margin, that indicates Ad Pei Omid Aleph, that this discussion continues till the next Omid. Mahu Achirim B'Masnisin. what is this achirim that's featured in the Mishnah? Omar Rabbi Avohu. The Gemara before Rabbi Avohu presents in parentheses Simon Bashrak. This is a mnemonic device in order to remember the opinions that will be featured in the upcoming Gemara. So Rabbi Avohu, who's represented by the Beis in this Simon, says Omar Shmuel. Hocha beroitzeach shelo nigmar dinoi shenis arev beroitzchem achirim shenigmar dinon askinon. Notice how we read all of that as a singular phrase, and that's indicated by the phrase marking. Reading it again, the case is a roitzeach shelo nigmar dino shenis arev beroitzchem achirim shenigmar dinon. A roitzeach, a murderer whose final verdict was not stated, got mixed up with other murderers whose final verdict was stated. Rabbonan Savri, we've underlined the Rabbonan and Rabbi Yehuda. They were the names that appeared in the Mishnah. In other words, we have the Tanakhama and also Rabbi Yehuda at the beginning. And we now explain their positions. Rabbonan hold, Ein Goimrim Dinoi Shel Odom Sheloi Befonov. We don't yield or rule issue. We don't issue a final verdict unless he is present. Being that we can't identify who is who in this group, that's considered shelo b'fonav. It's considered as if he's not present. As a result of our inability to issue a final verdict, hilkoch kulan ptur, and therefore they all experience exemption. Rabbi Yehuda, Miftarinu legamri nami loi, kiva de roitzchininu. We can't rule that they are all exempt and let them off, because we know from the court procedure that took place up till this point that they are murderers. There was already testimony and deliberation. All that's lacking here is a final verdict. But since we know through the court deliberation that they are murderers, we can't free them. Hilkoch koinsin oison lekipo. Therefore, as an act of default, we put them into this squalid condition, and eventually they die. Rabbi Rish Lakish Omar, his take on this is, be'odom, if we were talking about people, tekuli amo lo pligi deptiri, everyone would agree that there is exemption. Aval hocha, but rather here, we're talking about Beshor shelo nigmar dino shenisarev b'shevorim achirim shenigmar dinon komiflegi. We're dealing with an issue of a murderous animal, a shor that whose final verdict was not stated, got mixed up with other oxen whose final verdict was stated as being murderous. Komiflegi. This is the point of difference between this case that is the point of difference. Rabbonan Savri, Kamisas Bailim Kach Misas Hashor. As we treat the owner, as we would treat people, we treat the animal. And we know by people, the Ein Gomrim Dino Shel Shor Elo Befonov. We don't issue a final verdict on the animal unless he were present, just like would be the case by the person. Hilkoch kulam pturin. Therefore, in the absence of our ability to issue a final verdict, we will find all of the animals to be exempt as well, based on the principle of paralleling Mises Bailim to Mises Hashor. Rebuta Sovar, Koinsin Oison Lekipo. Rabbi Yehuda, though, will say that even though, as Reish Lakish sees things, even Rabbi Yehuda would say innocent, nevertheless, when it comes to the animals, we will not say innocent, but we put them into the kippah. Omar Rava. Rava asks, I hachi, hainu dekatani Allah, Omar Rabbi Yossi afilu abo chalafta b'nehem. Using the explanations that we've heard, whether it be Reish Lakish or Rabbi Avraham or Shmuel, how do their explanations fit in with a brisa that Rabbi Yossi says, that Rabbi Yossi presents concerning this Mishnah, that says, even if Abu Chalafta, who was a tzaddik, even if he was amongst them? Rashi at the top explains the question. Ihachi ha detani Allah, bein the Reish Lakish, bein the Shmuel komoisiv. Rava is raising a question according to both opinions we saw before. If the achirim that's featured in the Mishnah is a reference to other murderers, v'hai roitzeach shinis arev, and the case of roitzeach shinis arev is b'shehukar l'besof nis arev komar, where we knew one to be a murderer and then he simply got mixed up with others. Ha the tani ala b'braisa hachi, the Brisa that says concerning this, Rotzeach Shinis Arev Bachirim Kulan Pturin, a murderer that got mixed up with others, they're all exempt. Om Rabbi Yossi, there is exemption afilu Abu Chalafta Beinehem Kulam Pturim, even if the righteous Abu Chalafta is amongst them, they're all exempt. Namely, where Abu Chalafta, if he got mixed up with another murderer, it's very clear to us who the murderer is. Even so, they are exempt. So my afilu de koma Rabbi Yossi, what is the meant by this expression, even, the afilu that Rabbi Yossi says? Elo amar Rava, hochi komar. Rava does the following. He explains the brisa that we just saw in Rashi, and he will then explain the Mishnah. At the point that he explains the Mishnah, we offer a Roman numeral number 3. Being that at this point we've come to the end of this particular, the Daf Ayin Tes, we will at this point conclude our Shiur for today.